Have you ever wanted to start training and or doing something or lose weight and, you know, build body and muscle and mass and all this stuff? And it kind of just, you had the desire, but actually never pulled the plug, actually, or did it, you know? That's me right there. Yeah, look at it. There's a few of you guys. So anyway, you know, you had the New Year's resolution, or you said, I'm going to train this time, or you actually hired, a fitness trainer, but it never actually, you never made it. You know, you are like, it was really good. And, you know, how many of you guys know it's difficult to actually say yes? And last week, Pastor Tim talked about discipline and the fear of the Lord and how important that is. But, you know, when we talk about training, it requires a lot from us. It requires commitment. And sometimes that's hard for us to do when we want to, but we know it's hard because it's going to require us to get up early in the morning or late in the evening when we get off of work and go to the gym or eat healthy or stuff like that. You know, those tacos pass by like last week, and then what happens? You're like, man, it's impossible for me to do this with the kind of support that I have around me. My wife always tells me that. I'm always eating tacos in front of her, and she's like, you can't do this to me. But it's hard, but today we're going to look at what the Lord talks about us training, but not just for ourselves, but training the next generation. We've been in this series of reaching the next generation and how important it is for us to train and help those that are coming after us to know God and teach them the ways of God so that they know the purpose that they've been called to. Amen? And that's one of the things that we're going to be looking at today. So training, say with me, training is not automatic. It requires intentionality. How many agree with that? Yeah. So training doesn't happen automatically. You know, I can say I want to, but it's not going to happen automatically. It requires that you say, I'm going to be intentional about what I'm going to do. Right? We talked about fitness. So you can't just say, oh, I'm going to build mass. You have to actually eat healthy or eat the right stuff to build mass. Some of you guys, you know, I see you guys at GNC, you know, buying your creatine and buying your protein and your shakes and stuff. Anyway, so you see, you know, there's intentionality when you want to train, whether it's your body or whether it's something specific, you know, that you want to do. So training doesn't happen automatically. It requires intentionality. And so let's look at what the word talks about being intentional. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says the following: train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. I'm going to repeat that once again. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. What does this mean? I mean, I always wondered. I'm like, God, what do you mean? Train a child in the way he should go. Who is the way that we talk constantly about? Jesus, say it with me, Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, that's what we are supposed to train our child, our kids, our next generation, you know, in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of Jesus, to be followers of Jesus. How many of you say, I want my kid to follow Jesus? Amen. You may be 60 years old, your child may be 40, and you still want your child to be, you know, serving the Lord. Amen? You want him to know the Lord if he's not serving currently. So it's important that we train, our child in the way he should go, because when he gets older, he will not turn from it. And it's very important, but it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen automatically. And this is why I love what the Old Testament talks about. How are we supposed to do this? How are we supposed to teach or train the next generation? How many of you like me? And when you were a child, they had to repeat to you constantly what you were supposed to do and what you weren't supposed to do. Yeah? Amen? Any troublemakers around here? Yeah. I believe, yeah, it was, you know, it's true. Right? When you're a child, you know, I remember my dad, he had one of those, station wagons. How many of you guys remember the station, like the Ghostbuster station wagons? Yeah, exactly. So my dad had one of those, and it, you know, if you know something about that model, it didn't have seatbelts. It didn't have seatbelts, and I loved it. You know, that was the best part of it. They didn't have seatbelts, but my dad would always tell me, because I would love to sit by the door and, you know, turn down the window. How many kids like that? You know, they like to turn down the window. Hey, man. And so I was right there, and I remember my dad would tell me all the time, hey, son, or he would say, mijo, or hijo, like, siéntate en medio. You know what I mean? Sit in the middle. And I'm like, why, dad? I want to sit by the window. He would always tell me to sit in the middle. He always repeated me the same thing every time we got in the car. So in order to train someone to know what to do, say it with me, repetition, repetition, Repetition. So it doesn't happen automatically. You know, one of the ways we learn is by repeating constantly. How many of you guys tell your kids, clean your room? Clean your room. Hey, when I come back here, clean your room. You know, or put, you know, make your, do your bed. Hey, put your clothes in the basket, you know, in the dirty clothes basket, you know, those that are dirty. So again, we repeat. And we repeat, we constantly are all, you know, telling our kids probably the same thing over and over and over until mom or dad gets frustrated and says, how many times do I have to tell you? Yeah, I see, I'm not the only one. I'm glad, you know, I'm in the right place. I feel comfortable. I feel safe, you know. If you would have said like, no, not me, I was like, oh man, what kind of kids or parents did they have? Awesome, you know. Anyway, But let's look at what the scripture talks to us and what God tells the people of Israel, you know, in the Old Testament to do. And this is amazing because when I saw this about learning, how we learn by repetition, it, you know, it reminded me of this. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and through 9, it says, and these words which I command you today, so it first starts with us. We need to, it starts with, you know, say it with me, starts with me. So it's important. So these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. We can't teach what we, I mean, I'll get to that in a little bit, but it has to be in your heart first. We can tell our kids all day long, hey, do this, do that, but it has to start with me. You shall teach them, or in these words, in your heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, say your house. Does it say you're at the church? Does it say when they go to youth group? When they come on Sunday morning class? Where are you supposed to talk to them about this? The house. If you have your kids next to you, if you're a teenager or something, to tell them, I'm going to talk to you about this at house when we get home. Yeah, you know, you have to start this. I mean, you can't, it has to start at home. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But when you walk, by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them, say it with me, write them. On the doorpost of where? And on where? Your gates. So if you live in a state home, that's what it was referring to. I'm kidding. You know, if you had a state house or something, a ranch, hey, you know what? It has to start at home. We can't say, hey, you know what? Church, handle my teenager. We can't say, hey, you know what? It's the school's responsibility. The school board really should select somebody else. You know, no, we can't talk about it like that. It starts at home. Starts with me, in my heart first. So again, when we talk about training, it is not, again, automatic. It is intentional. But it's intentional, and it has to be at home. So when we talk about, when Proverbs says, train a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not turn from it, he's really talking about training where? At home. Who do our kids spend the most time with? In school or at home? You know, at home. You know, who do they need, for, you know, to hear from if it's not from parents? So you may say, well, what am I supposed to train my kid in? What is specifically, and so there's many things, but you know, today we're going to talk about three important, I believe, points or three things that I believe that we should start with, because these are going to be essential when they have you and when they don't have you. You know what I mean by that? When you go home with the Lord, you know, and that's important. So first one, we should train our child to pray and listen. Pray and listen. And doing it with your kids, doing it with your children. And some of you guys are like, well, my kids are already old, you know, they're older, and, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could do this with my kids. Yeah, I believe we could do this with our kids. And then you may say, well, I don't have kids. And, well, you know what, let me tell you that, again, Pastor Tim said something a few weeks back when he said, hey, how many grandmas or how many people that didn't have, you know, the Lord for whatever reason did not allow them to have kids. How many of you guys know that being a parent or being someone that is a mentor, it doesn't have nothing to do, or being a mom and a dad has nothing to do with having physical children. It has to do with being there for them. Amen? And being there for them and training them. So again, there's a lot of mentors. There's a lot of people that I consider. I'm saying, God, thank you for those people. Because there's a lot of need in our society today that requires our parents. So again, doing it with your kids. So even praying, why is it important for prayer to be a part of our daily lives and to train the child in prayer? Because the disciples even asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, Lord. Disciples said, teach us how to pray. What does prayer do? Prayer requires you to humble yourself and say, God, I can't do this alone. Prayer requires you to humble yourself and say, I can't do this alone. I need your help. I need your sustaining power to help me through this situation that I'm going, that I'm running into. So you know what? That is important, that we would know that God has called us to pray. But not only to pray. How many of you guys pray, but then never stop to listen? Because see, prayer is a communication. When you're praying to God, you're communicating to God. You're asking God or praying to God or interceding for someone. But how many of do we ever talk to our spouse or our kids or our friends and say, hey, I need you to do this, or God, or hey, Caitlin, can you help me with this and do this? And okay, see you later. I'm just talking to her, but do I wait for her to say yes or no, or do I just expect her to do it? What if she can't? What if she doesn't want to help me? But I mean, what I'm saying is with God, God's always willing to speak to us. But if you're asking for direction and you never wait to hear or listen from God, how are we supposed to know what God wants us to do? So prayer is not just praying to God, but it's also listening to God. It's also hearing what he has to say. And many times God will speak to us not only through a soft, you know, whisper, but also through the word of God. I mean, his word will remind us. And so every time we pray at home, I love to have the Bible, you know, next to me, because it's, you know, it's the word of God. So if God's going to speak to me back, I'm going to open up the Bible and God's going to speak to me in this area that I'm praying to him about. How many of you guys are following me? So prayer is not automatic. It is intentional. It requires you to say, you know what? We're going to go ahead and pray. But we're going to pray and we're going to listen to what God wants us to do. You know, it's awesome to see that you teach your kids to pray, but not only to pray, but listen and say, hey, hear what God is speaking to you. What is God speaking to your life? And when you hear your kids say, well, I believe he wants me to be nice to my friends. There's a start, right? You know, my daughter recently, she's like, Dad, there's just these kids at school. They're really mean. I don't know about you, but I get these conversations with my kids. They're really mean, and I don't know what to do. I say, well, let's pray for them. And they're like, yeah, but I don't know if they're going to stop. And I said, yeah, but I know someone that can make them stop. No. And I wasn't referring to my old ways. You know what I mean? Because that's what I would have said in the past. And who's this kid, son? I'm kidding. You know, it's the older brother. But I really, I knew that I'm like, I know the God I serve and God can speak to him. He showed up to people in dreams and visions in the Old Testament to defend his own. Amen? He can come and defend us. He can come and show up in the people's lives. And not only just to defend us, but so that they could also have an encounter with God. And their lives could also be changed and transformed. So I said, hey, let's pray. So we prayed. And, you know, I said, hey, what would you like to pray about? And, oh, I would like that they would stop. Okay, awesome. And then what do you think God would want you to do? How do you think God would want you to respond? Well, let's pray to God. And then, so we prayed to the Lord. And again, this is where she's like, I believe, you know, that God would want me to be nice to my friends. Next time they do this, this is what I'm going to do. See, this is where we help our children to not only pray to God and believe that he's going to do something on our behalf, but also listen to say, what is my role in this situation? How am I supposed to act in this situation? How am I supposed to go about this new job, this new place of employment that is being offered to me, or this new opportunity to move abroad or move in a different place? Now my kid's graduating. You know, where is it? What's that university that God would want them to go to and they would be fruitful? Do you hear what I'm saying? That we would do this together as a family and pray, because we never know that God might just show up and not just her or his life, when they're going abroad or going to other places, but God will show up in other kids' lives, in other people's lives, because we bring the presence of God wherever we go. We bring the presence of God. What does that mean? It means that when you walk into the room, people are going to notice there's something different about this person. He does not act just like your normal Joe. Or I don't know how you would say that for a woman, but you know what I mean? So, but you know, God's going to do something with them. God will grant them favor, grace, opportunities, doors will open. And you say like, wow, this is amazing. But there's also challenges that they'll face. Things that they will hear, you know, things that they will experience. How do we teach our kids to know what to do, but if it's not to pray and listen? God, what's my role? So when we pray, we know that we're giving it over to the Lord, but when we listen, it's our opportunities to say, God, what is my role in this matter? How am I supposed to walk this through? See what I'm saying? It's a two-way street. It can never be a one-way street. Maybe you're frustrated this morning and you've been praying to God, but you haven't been listening to God. Maybe it's time for us to begin there and say, God, how can I listen? What's my role? And prayer is not just for us. It always includes others. Should always include others. Yesterday, our Foursquare president, Glenn Burris, along with 40 other Pentecostal leaders from around the world, met to pray with the Pope. And we have a picture here with our president. Our president was in Rome, and he was able to pray with the charismatic Catholic movement. I don't know if you've heard about the charismatic Catholic movement, but about 50 years or so around that time, there was a bunch of Catholic people praying to God that he would pour his spirit upon them. Imagine this. You know, they were praying to God, and thousands and thousands of Catholic people came to know Jesus and had an encounter and speaking in tongues like never before. How many of you guys praise God for that right there? Amen. They were there yesterday, you know, today's Pentecost, and they were there to ask that God would pour out his spirit upon every person. And I was just stoked. I'm thinking like, man, imagine, you know, all of a sudden the Pope getting ready and saying, man, having this encounter with Jesus and saying, man, you know, we need Jesus more than ever before. And many and thousands of people come to know Jesus. But see, the charismatic renewal movement was not just for the Catholic Church, I believe. So I believe it's also for us to say, God, pour out your spirit upon us. Thousands of those Catholic people that I was talking about gave their life to the Lord. And now many of them are in the Foursquare movement, including. They would testify that, hey, you know what? Because I started in the Catholic Church, I praised, you know, I was asking the Lord to come upon me, and he did. And, you know, I had an encounter with Jesus, and now they're in two Foursquare churches, you know. And so this is amazing. And I'm thinking like, wow, if God can do that with them, how many believe that God can do this in Santa Maria? Amen? Yeah, exactly. I believe that God can do that in Santa Maria. And I'm praying that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. You know, Joel talks about this, my buddy. You know, he talks about that in the Bible. You know, we call this in Spanish, my tocayo. You know, it's like the guys that always, you know, their names are the same. And so I believe that is exactly what, you know, thank God for our president that he is crossing. You know, one of the things that Foursquare believes is crossing interdenominationally and believing that God will not just move in the Foursquare church, but around the world. And that is amazing. It's amazing to see how God is working in not just our movement, but I believe in around the world and believing that God's going to do something on our behalf. So when we ask the Lord to teach us how to pray and to teach our kids how to pray, when we do that, you know, we're teaching them to depend on God and to say, God, it is not on just my own strength that I'm going to be able to do this, but it's going to be in your strength. But another thing that we're doing is we're building a memorial to God. This is one of the things that I heard this weekend at the convention. And it was important to hear how prayer is not just, you know what, God, you know, do this on our behalf and listen. But I also believe that this is important for our kids, because when we pray and we ask God to do something and then he shows up, your kids are sealed for life. You know what I mean? They're sealed. They're saying God is real. God is real, and this is building a memorial to God and saying, you know what? God, I believe that you can not only move in our finances, you can move in our healing, you can move in our prospering with a job, you can move with my dad's life, my mom's life, my kids. I mean, all these, I mean, imagine this. God is doing something amazing when we are teaching our kids to depend on God. He is doing something amazing in us, but he's also doing something amazing in them. Because every time I hear my son talk about how God answered his prayer, or my daughter is saying, God answered my prayer, Dad, because I was praying about this. I mean, I don't know about you, but that just fills me up with joy. I remember just a couple, or actually close to around a month ago, I came down with this sickness. Really, it was really bad, and my son came over to me. You know, I prayed for him because he got it first. That's where I got it from. And then I and then I got it, and then he came over to me. And you know what he did? He just put his hand over me and says, God, I pray that you would heal my dad. I'm telling you, I mean, I was like trembling because I had a fever, 102. And I'm like, but even in that fever, in the midst of the fever, I was saying, God, thank you. Honor my son's prayer. I'm saying, God, do something. And every 30 minutes he'd come, like, did God heal you yet, Dad? It's amazing. It's a childlike faith right there. I'm saying, God, if he, you know, it's an expectation that you're imparting in your kids, saying, God, you're gonna do something because we know that you've done it before. See, and that is very important that we would teach our kids to pray and listen, but more so than that is we are to help them put their hope in God. Does that make sense? So another thing we got to train our child is not just to pray and listen, but to put their hope in the Lord. Not on Dad, not on NyQuil, you know? But to actually pray that, you know what, you took medicine, Dad, but I know God can heal you. And that is important. That is important because when they put their hope in the Lord, let me tell you that you may teach, you know, they know they have things accessible to them. Like, for example, you know, things that are just out there in the world. For example, NyQuil, loans, all this stuff. That's there, right? We have access to all this stuff, natural stuff. But when God provides miraculously or supernaturally, like somebody just gives you a random call and says, hey, you know what God's been putting in my heart? To pray for your school. Scholarship you all the way through. And you're like, what? How does that happen? I know many of you guys are like, man, I'm going to start praying. Now you guys are looking at it because you guys have kids that are graduated, right? But I mean, of course, we do our due diligence to save and do all that stuff so our kids can go off to college. But imagine your kid depending on God, not on the things that you've been saving for them. And putting their hope and saying, hey, man, Dad, I just saved you, you know? Thousands of dollars, and I'm not an insurance company. What is it? And then you could say, that's not him, you know what I mean? But it was actually God who saved them. How many of you guys, I don't know if you're catching this, but this is about believing God for the supernatural and believing God to put your hope in him so that he can do exceedingly abundant more than you could ever ask or think of. That's the God we serve. He can do that. He can do that. I've heard testimonies of people, you know, receiving thousands of dollars. And I'm like, God, I'm putting my hope in you. I want to serve you, not for that, but I want to serve you because I want that to happen in my own life so that we can build memorials to God and saying, God has not just provided for us physically or, you know, with a health, but also financially in every area of your life that you are in need of. I remember as a kid, one of the things that Mom started doing when I was around 8 or 9. You know, we were Catholic in the past and stuff when we were in Mexico. And then the Lord just here at Foursquare, actually, when we came, God met my parents where they were, had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and they just said, this is the home church we want, you know, to start congregating. And I was like, wow, I was just a little tiny kid. But I remember that my mom didn't start praying with me until about like 8 or 9, like really, again, it's not automatic, it's intentional, you know? But intentionally, every night, she would say, son, we're going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to pray this. And I remember the prayer to this day. I mean, that prayer that just changed my life, I believe. And I remember one time at night, you know, I fell asleep you know, from, I think, one of those long gatherings. I don't remember where it was, but I was it was one of those times where I fell asleep, but I woke up in the middle of the night. Every night we would pray for the, and during this season, and I remember that at night, I fell asleep, and I woke up in the middle of like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I said, I was so worried because we didn't pray. And I said, man, and I honestly, one of the parts of the prayer was, God, send your angels to watch over us. So guess what I thought as a kid? I said, man, I didn't pray. So the angels are like off duty. You know what I mean? They didn't come. And so I didn't understand it at the time. But I mean, angels are watching over us, of course. You know, and I would just, you know, God's presence was there. But I remember I woke up my mom at 2 or 3 in the morning. And she was just like, you know, how every parent was. I understand now. You know, she's like, cross-eyed, you know, trying to wake up. And she's like, but I remember, I don't know about you, but sometimes when my kids come wake me up and things, and they're like, can we pray? And I'm like, no, can you wait till the morning? You know what I mean? Kind of thing, because you're just tired. But I remember she didn't reject me. She just said, I said, Mom, I said, we didn't pray. We need to pray. And she said, okay, let's pray, son. Here. And she grabbed me by the hand, and we prayed together. But let me tell you that was very important, because I felt like it didn't matter what time, if you feel the need to pray, 2 or 3 in the morning, if God's waking you up and you feel that need, you wake up to pray. You wake up because you never know what God is going to do in your child's life. So now my kids come and they wake me up in the morning, you know. Dad, I'm scared. I had a nightmare. What have you been watching on YouTube? You know what I mean? Go through their history. That's the first thing that comes to my mind, you know. Or, well, of course, we have parental control and everything, but it's like one of those things. What have you been watching? You always want to find a reason, but it's like, you know what? Let's pray. Let's bind this, and let's cast this out, and let's just help your faith grow and know that you can do this if Dad's not here. So we pray with our kids, you know, at 2 or 3 in the morning. We pray with our kids before they go to bed, and in the morning. But I want to talk to you about what God talks in his word about helping our kids put their hope in the Lord. This is when we train a child in the way he should go. Not only should we teach them to pray and listen and put their hope in the Lord, but listen why this is important. In Psalm chapter 78, verse 2 through 7. This is the scripture we've been using in this series. And it says it this way. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known, stories of our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power. Say with me, about his power. And say with me, about his mighty wonders. If someone dropped $100,000 on your lap, would you say that's a wonder? Right? You're like, why are you doing this? Where did this come from? That's what I'm talking to you about. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. This is the purpose. So the next generation might know them. Even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God. Listen here. It says on God, not on your savings. How many kids have been disappointed? How come you don't have money for college? How come you don't have this for me set aside? How come we never did this or that? How come I never had these shoes? How come I never had, etc.? And there's this complaining towards this children. I mean, towards your parents, right? Because the parents should be doing this. If we teach our children to set their hope in God, you'll teach your children not to depend on you, but depending on God as their provider. I don't know if you're hearing me this morning. You know, I want to make a little pause, and well, I'll finish this. It's not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. I remember as growing up as a kid, we didn't have a lot. And I was one of those kids that I'm talking about, complaining all the time. You know, how come we don't have this, Mom? How come we don't have that? We grew up and we didn't have a lot. But one of the things that my mom always said, after I had this encounter with the Lord and she's teaching me to seek the Lord for the things that I need, I remember that I was in my prayer closet. I remember as a kid, I was like 15 or 16 years old. And I remember I asked the Lord, I said, God, I really want a set of new sheets and a set of just bedding for my bed. And I remember I just thought about it, actually. I was in my prayer closet. I didn't even ask. I just thought about it. And I felt like, no, you know what? I'm going to pray for this and this and that. And the next week, I'm kidding you not, I mean, there was a new bedding on my bed. Sheets and everything, pillows and everything. I was like, wow, I didn't expect the pillows, but I guess that's the extra. You know what I mean? That God's always providing. But we didn't have that. I mean, that's the thing. My parents didn't have the money. But that's where God sealed my heart when my mom said, ask God. And I realized then that if my mom or my dad weren't able to provide for me, I had a God that always could. And let me tell you, I became someone who was asking from that point on about everything. I'm telling you, I asked God about every single thing because I knew that that moment, it was what I'm talking about, a memorial to the Lord. I said, God, you did this for me here. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can do this for me in this area. And guess what? I began to ask with an expectation, and guess what God would do? He would provide. There's an opportunity that God, I put my hope in the Lord. There's desires in my heart that I just wanted. It wasn't even, for someone else, it was for me. You know, we didn't have the money. I asked the Lord, you know, there was this opportunity to go to France and Spain. And I don't know if you guys ever traveled abroad, but you know, you guys would know that's pretty expensive. And I started asking God, I said, God, I want to go to France and Spain. The trip was about $4,000, you know, around there. You know, we lived in the projects. We didn't have a lot. My dad would make like $300 a week. We didn't have a lot. We were barely making it. But guess what I said in my prayer closet? I said, God, I want to go to France and Spain. Would you provide? I'm like, could you do a miracle? And guess what? Of course, I did my due diligence. But there was people giving so that I could go to France and Spain. They heard about what I wanted to do. So what I'm telling you here, folks, I'm living it. Amen? I'm living it. I know. Of course, now, like I've said, you know, after advice from people, they say, hey, you should save for your kids' college. You should do this. I'm doing that stuff. You see what I'm saying? That now that God has allowed me to be able to do that. But even though I'm able to do that, I'm telling my kids, don't ask me. Ask God. Amen? Don't ask me. Ask God. They're like, Dad, we want to go to Disneyland. I'm like, hey, easy. You know how much the prices went up? You understand how much this costs? Right? But they want to go to Disneyland. So I'm like, okay, well, ask God. So what I'm telling you here is just that if we teach our kids to ask the Lord, it's going to save you, parents, amen, a lot of money. And not just money, but it's going to save you heartache. Things that you would say, hey, you know what, ask the Lord, kid. I mean, son, because when you do that, and let me tell you, God has shown my kids, even at a young age, that God can provide. And then they said, remember, Dad, we asked God to do this? This is the best part of that. And God showed up, and they're like, God is amazing. You know what they end up going? They're like, God, you're amazing. God is awesome. You know, they're like, they love God because it's their friend. It's like they talk to him as, you know, again, he's our friend. And they're telling him, God, can you do this, Lord? But then also, God, what am I supposed to do? What's my role? What do I do in during this situation? So this is exactly what we need to train our kids to know, the God we serve, that he is worthy to be trusted, that he is worthy to put our hope in. You know, that if there is ever a time in which there is a need of, you know, for God's divine providence, he is there to call upon in a moment's notice. So let me tell you that if we do this, God is going to show up in the lives of our kids, and they're going to be saying, God, you're amazing. Now, I'm not saying that they won't, we're preparing them just to trust God and that everything's going to go nice. No, that in the midst of challenges, just like I learned, that in the midst of a challenge where my parents couldn't provide, God was there. And he provided. Because he owns everything. And I can go on and on of all the things that God's, you know, provided for me. And people tell me, man, you're rich. And I'm like, nope. God knows I'm not rich. Last time we were talking with my wife. Looking at a room. Looking at things in our home. And I told her, I remember as a growing up, I told her, I promised my wife, I don't know if you guys husbands, but I told her, well, those that are younger, I told her, we're just going to, when I marry you, we're just going to live in my parents' house for 6 months. Yeah. See, he has 6 months, babe. Promise. Scout's honor. What they say? Yeah, you know. I said, here we go. I promise. And she said, okay. You know, she's in love, of course. Believe me. She's in love. She's still in love, but she doesn't believe everything now, but yeah. She's still in love. But, you know, 3 years went by, and we were still in my parents. But I remember one time I told her, and this is, again, spouses, this is not just for the next generation. The next generation are believers, to train them in the ways of the Lord. And I remember I was telling my wife, I said, babe, in the room, little room, I said, and we're looking at the wall, and I said, you're going to look back at this day, and you're going to remember my words. I felt confident. I said, you know, we're going to have our own little place. And I remember we had our own little place. You know, a year later, we had our own little apartment. And in that apartment, I said, you know what, babe? I said, you see this apartment one day? I said, we're going to have our own little house. And again, putting my hope in the Lord. I said, not because I'm going to be able to do it, but just God's going to provide. Believe me. Let's put our hope in him. So we got our own little place. It was a one-bedroom little house. But I said, babe, you see this? We're going to have a bigger house one day. Watch. And then we had another house, and it was bigger. And then I said, babe, one day you'll see. We'll have our own house. We'll own our own house. And I remember, and she kept on saying this. You know, she's like, okay, yeah. Because now by this time, you know, again, we've been building memorials. God's been showing up. So she's believing, you know, what I'm telling. Let's put our trust in the Lord. Don't put your hope in me, I was telling her. God knows, you know, if you put your hope in me, you know how long you waited, 3 years, you know? So she's putting our hope in the Lord, and we're praying God and saying, God, do this on our behalf. And sure enough, you know, I was 25 when we were able to buy our own little house, and which was amazing. You know, I was just a 25-year-old kid here, and I was, I'm 27 now. I'm kidding. No, but you know, 25 years old, and we bought our own little house, and God was amazing. And the people were telling us, how are we able to buy a home? You know, you don't make enough. You know, and I said, that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? So God was the one that showed up, and he's shown us his providence. And now I'm telling her, I said, you see this little home right here, you know, that we have? I said, God's going to provide a bigger home, you know, because I'm believing for another kid one day. You know what I mean? So anyway, so. Because right now we're maxed out of room. So anyway, you gotta move in faith, brother. You got to move in faith. You know what I mean? Just how we do this. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Leonard. You're agreeing with me, bro. So anyway. So I'm just, or for a guest, you know, just somebody that would want to come. That's really what I was telling her, you know. It's for the guest that would, you know, preacher that would want to come one day. Hospitality. We got to practice it at one point. Anyway. But I know that, you know, putting our hope in the Lord doesn't always turn out the way we expected. You know, sometimes just because you say, oh, I've been doing this doesn't necessarily mean that you get this. You know, if you do this, you do that. God, you get that. No, because I know many of you guys have done that. You put your trust in the Lord. You put your hope in him. And sometimes it's just your kid's still not seeking the Lord like you wish he was doing. But let me tell you, don't give up, because if you put your trust in the Lord, you put your hope in him. We tend to get discouraged because it doesn't happen in the moment that we want. But let me tell you that if you don't quit, but you actually keep trusting the Lord and you keep saying, God, help me, and ask the real hard question, what am I coaching my kids now or the next generation to do? You know, it's important, because even if in the midst of challenges, even though when your kid sees that you are being faithful to the Lord when he or she is not, there's this message that's being spoken, not with words, but with how you're modeling to them. You know, I've told you guys, I was a rebel kid. I remember when my mom started saying yes to God, guess what? That's when I started getting away from the Lord the most. And I don't know how many moms or parents are here, but you guys may be feeling the same way. You know, man, God, I started giving my life to you and things started going crazy. My kid doesn't serve the Lord no more. But let me tell you, you know, even in the midst of me being a rebel, my mom would always put her hand, and I've mentioned this before, you know, in my door and say, my son is going to serve the Lord. And I'm telling you, I'm like, how can she say this? I'm over here getting into fights. I'm over here not going to school. I'm about ready to get kicked out of high school. And my mom is praying for me. And I'm like, how can she say these things? Doesn't she see that it's not happening? And I would tell my mom, I don't even know if I believe God or if I believe in God anymore. Again, this is when I was little, she would pray for me. But then guess what? During my teenage years, I went through a transition like never before. I would not serve the Lord. I was doing really bad. I almost died a few times because I was doing so bad. But my mom never lost hope. My parents, you know, I believe my parents never lost hope in the Lord. They always believed the Lord for what God was going to do in my life. It wasn't easy, I'm sure, you know, but you know, because you're seeing your kid come home with blood and bruises, and then you also see him, you know, smoking, you know, weed and doing all these things he wasn't supposed to. And he's doing all these crazy things that, you know, I was not doing well. But yet my mom knew that I had to make my own decision. Kids and teens are going to make their own decisions. They're going to have to, again, we train them, but it's their choice. Does that make sense? We train them, but it's their choice. Yeah, so if there's any guilt or condemnation that the enemy has tried to come over you, you know, shake that off and bind that and cast it out, because it's not. If you've been doing and saying to the Lord, you know, I've taught my kid how to serve you. You know, just because, again, and I know just because we do this doesn't mean that we automatically get that right there. But never lose your hope in the Lord, because I'm telling you something. There's this quote that I heard this weekend. Mark Batterson said, there's no expiration date on prayers. Oh, man, I'm telling you, that hit me between the eyes, because I said, that's my mom right there. That was my mom right there. She never stopped believing and praying that God would change me one day. And I want to share just this quick story. You know, my mom passed away of cancer in 2010. And I don't know about you, but that shook me to my core. I was a young pastor. I was barely 2 years into the ministry. I started when I was 22, and here I was 24. My mom was diagnosed with cancer, and they're telling her at the end of her life, at the end of her days, you know, she was going through all this treatment, you know, and they told her a bunch of stuff, you know, that she would, that she was going to get better. You know, that if she did this treatment, that things were going to get better and whatnot. And I remember when she was sitting there in her couch. We had just come from the doctor, and the doctor pretty much told her, you know, we can't do anything for you. I don't know about you, man, but those are the worst words. And I was there, the family was there. But I remember that in her couch, and she was laying there, because her body was hurting. I was going through personal stuff at that time, and I said, Mom, I can't do this anymore. I can't be in ministry anymore. I said, it's hard. I said, people judge you, and you know, you all these expectations are upon you. And again, I was 24 around that time, and I was learning a lot, you know, being shaped. There's people, you know, learning how to deal with people, and I just didn't know how. I wasn't ready for that, you know. And so my mom was. My mom had already, she had counseled pastors. And so I remember I told her that, and she prayed for me. Oh, man, it was the most beautiful thing in the world. Because when someone is in pain, and they're putting their hope in God so that God can do something on their behalf. And I'm telling you, it's just one of those things where I believe that God was showing me to trust him. And I remember I heard his whisper and said, Joel, if I don't heal your mom, will you still serve me? And it was a hard question, because my mom was everything for me. My mom was my counselor. My mom was my mom. But my mom knew exactly everything about my life. There was one thing I hadn't told her. She was my accountability partner. She was everything. And I remember that in that couch, she told me, "Son, you and many others have felt like quitting." And I knew who she was talking about. She knew all these pastors, you know. And I knew that every one of them had, like, "You mean these pastors?" She's like, "Yeah, all of those pastors have felt like quitting. But put your trust in God," she said. "Put your hope in him." And you know what? I'm telling you, it was hard because she is in pain. And she's telling me to put my hope in God. And I'm like, here, I felt like I was more so complaining, you know, about my situation when she was actually putting her hope in the Lord because she was living her last days. And she was telling me, you know, God has great things for your life, son. God has great things. And I couldn't see it. At this point, I'm like, God, how can you? We were in Washington, D.C. last week, and I was so thankful to God when I was walking the National Mall and I was hearing God's voice. I mean, I'm telling God, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, the whole time I was walking there, history and everything, I'm saying, thank you for having my mom speak to me. Because let me tell you, when I felt like quitting, many times, those words come back to me and say, son, don't quit. She would tell me, don't quit. You could do it. I know God has something great for you. You need to learn how to trust him and see beyond what is happening to you currently. See, that's the thing about us, that sometimes we get caught in the moment and we just see what we have in our present. And I'm not telling you I don't believe God can heal. I'm telling you, I've seen God heal people. See what I'm saying? The question was, why not my mom? So just because you say you do this doesn't mean you get that. Just because you're obedient to God doesn't mean that you get this. Does that make sense? The question was, are you going to trust me? Are you going to still serve me if you don't get what you want? Oh man, I'm telling you, I remember those last moments. We were in the room and we started praising God. She was in pain. And we started playing the guitar. Everybody was around her and we started praying, but the presence of God just fell in the room. So what did she do for me? And even in the last days, she taught me to obey. So what are we supposed to train our child in is not just pray and listen, not just put our hope in the Lord, but we're supposed to teach them how to obey. To say, even if it doesn't come out the way I want it to, I'm going to do what you want, God. And that's the tough part, because many of us, if you do this, you get that. It's in the training, really, that actually things happen. The word train is especially important to us because we've been talking about Safari Kids and the training part of it. We want to train our kids to put their hope in the Lord. But this involves intentionality, coaching, that our parents and leaders are meant to help our next generation succeed in life, but not succeed when things are going well. Because anybody can do that, right? If we all succeed when things go well, I mean, if we all teach our next generation to just serve God when things go well, then guess what? When things get hard, they're going to end up in a different place. So life isn't always easy, but this was a pivotal moment in my life when she was telling me this, because I don't know about you, but when someone's in pain and you hear them to tell you not to give up, that's like giving life to you. You're like, man, I'm like, what am I doing here? What am I saying? My thing is minuscule compared to whatever's happened to that person, right? And that's important. We need to train our kids with our lives. She was able to model something for me that even to the last days, to put their trust in God and believe God can do something amazing. Even in that moment of heartache. So this is the other thing. I heard this from Pastor Wayne Cordero. He said, we can teach what we know, but you will reproduce who you are. So you can teach people, oh yeah, all day long, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, but do they see you doing it? Does that make sense? We tell people all the time what to do, right? But do they see you do it? Can they actually say, oh yeah, he's a great mentor or model in my life? And that's exactly what was happening to me, you know. But why don't we do it? Because again, we're busy, because we don't have time. Because when was the last time you prayed with your child or your son, your daughter? You know, you can start today. You can say, God, I can start today. I haven't done it, but today I'm going to go ahead and do that. You know, it requires consistency to say yes to Jesus. You know, say yes today. Say yes tomorrow. Say yes the next day. See, it's every day that we encounter Jesus, not just on Sunday mornings or Wednesday when they come to youth group. Does that make sense? It's every day. So sometimes what's another thing, the reason why we don't do it is because we feel like we're not capable of. I wasn't trained to do this. I don't know how to, I don't have the words. Well, guess what? We've been talking about this prayer guide here for the last couple of weeks. What is this? This is 30 days of prayer for the Muslim world. If you say, I don't know how to pray, I don't know where to start. Guess what? You can pick one of these up and the information. But, you know, we want to pray for those that don't know the Lord. Amen? We want to pray that God would encounter them wherever they are. You know, the Muslim world is fasting and seeking God, right? Their God. That God would show up in their lives. Why don't we pray that God would show up in their lives? Amen? Why don't we ask God that he would encounter the lives of those children as they are seeking, you know, the Lord, or asking God to encounter them? I'm saying, yes, we can start with this. You can go ahead and do that. And guess what? You can do it not just with just yourself, but you can do this with your kids. There's a child version, a children's version that you can pick up and say, God, we're going to do this for 30 days. And I believe that after these 30 days, you're going to say, well, not just for the Muslim world. How about for the Buddhist world? How about for the Hindu world? How about for everyone that's on earth, that God would do something on their behalf? You know, and you may say, well, I never had that praying mom that you had, Pastor Joel. No, but you can be one. But you can be one. You can start today and say, you know what? I'm going to do this for them, for my kids, for the next generation. See, we leave others to do the training. We say, no, the church should handle it. No, the youth group should handle it. No, our education system should do it. And we complain. And we say, this is their role. But no, it's the church's role. It's our opportunity. It's not just what I mean, the church. That means every parent that says yes to Jesus. We are supposed to do this together. So one of the things that I can say confidently is that I know that as I leave this earth, what I want my children to know is that they have a God that is far a better provider than their own dad. That they can trust him even if they don't have me. And that's one of the things that is awesome. And I truly believe with all my heart that God helped me through that season, difficult season of my life, to say, God, thank you for the opportunity that you've allowed me to know that wherever I go, wherever you send me, God, you will provide. You'll provide with little, you'll provide with much. In every area, emotional, physical, spiritual, it's amazing what God can do if you just put your trust in him. You pray and listen. You trust the Lord and you do. You can't just say, God, you know, do it, and then you never end up modeling it for your kids. You say, God, I want to do it, but never put it to work. This week and even as tonight as you go home and your week begins, would you say, I want to be a parent who trains my kids or the next generation in the ways of the Lord? Would you say yes to the training of the next generation to listen, put their hope in God, and to do the things God has called them to do by modeling with your own life? Even in the challenging moments of your life, would you say yes to the Lord? Would you say yes to God? I'm going to ask Jason if he can come on up. But if that's you today and you want to say yes to God, I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you to put all your chips in to God and say, yes, God, I want to be that person. If you haven't done it, you can start today.